Since 2010 alone, the USDA says more than 122,000 cattle, 45 million chickens, and 10,000 sheep have been slaughtered due to factory farming. Hello and welcome to Have a Care, the show that spotlights humans acting for humanity. I am your host, Danielle Padilla, and today we are going to talk about factory farming with Los Angeles Grassroots Coordinator for the Humane League, Chloe Fuller. The Humane League is the Animal Charity Evaluator's top charity of 2017 for their work promoting practices that reduce farm animal suffering. Now, Chloe, first of all, congratulations on a title like that.
Thank you.
And second, with that title, can you explain a little detail what the Humane League does?
Great. Yeah, I'd love to. So the Humane League is an international farm animal protection organization with the mission to reduce animal suffering by creating change on all levels. Now, we do this through a variety of different ways. We work very, very much with the large food corporations to get them to establish stronger animal welfare policies to try to eradicate some of the cruelest practices in industrial agriculture, as well as working on important policy and ballot initiatives. We're actually involved very much in one right now called Prevent Cruelty California, which I'd love to touch on later. Finally, working with individuals to inspire them to adopt more compassionate food choices.
Amazing. And just to like backtrack a little bit, you talked about practices. What kind of don't go into like gruesome details, but like what are examples of practices that some corporations or companies do use?
Sure. So right now with our corporate campaign department, we're working on a large campaign called the 88% campaign.
Yeah.
And this campaign addresses specifically chickens that are raised for meat in the food industry, who take up about 88% of the animals that are killed for food each year in the U.S. Land animals.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty staggering.
Yeah.
So of the 9 billion animals that are land animals that are slaughtered every year in the U.S., roughly 8 billion of those are chickens. So we realize that we can have a pretty big impact by focusing on the welfare standards for those animals in particular. So that's why we call the 88% campaign.
Yeah.
We're working with large food corporations to get them to adopt stronger policies for their meat breed chickens, who are called broiler chickens in the industry.
Yeah.
We have already secured dozens and dozens of commitments from large food corporations to address these issues and improve these conditions. And right now we just launched. A couple of months ago, we launched our largest and most ambitious campaign to date.
Mm-hmm.
We're part of a coalition with a few other major animal welfare organizations challenging McDonald's to improve their welfare standards for meat breed chickens. So if people want to learn more, they can visit www.imnotlovinit.com to learn about what we are asking McDonald's to do. And Our main focus right now is getting them to switch to a higher welfare breed of bird. As it is in industrial agriculture, chickens have been selectively bred over the last several decades to grow extremely large, extremely fast. So chickens nowadays are five times larger than they were in 1957 while eating half as much food. It's kind of like the equivalent of a toddler weighing like 600 pounds or something.
Oh my gosh.
It's unbelievable when we really put it into perspective. So these birds, they've been selectively bred to grow extremely large, extremely quickly so that they can reach their slaughter weight at 45 days. So they're actually still just baby chicks by the time they are, several pounds. And so many of these, millions of these birds will suffer crippling leg deformities or have heart attacks or any other sort of malady that comes from this abnormal, unnatural stress that's being put on their bodies. Like they're ballooning, but their internal organs and their bones are not really able to support how large their bodies are. So it's heartbreaking. There's plenty of footage online that exposes this kind of cruelty, and it's that's why we are focusing so much on this issue.
Yeah. So how do you put pressure on the companies? I know you said you joined like a coalition, but
yeah,
what exactly, like what steps do you take? Do you have like rallies? Do you have or something
like
that?
Sure. Yeah. So we have an amazing team of activists at the Humane League. And we all focus on, you know, on different parts of this puzzle. We do have a corporate relations team that actually reaches out to these corporations initially to try to start a dialogue and express to them why this issue is important. And actually, a lot of companies right out the gate will have friendly conversations with us, will see eye to eye on this issue, and then will adopt the changes that we are asking them to make, which is incredible. So we do see quite a few companies willing to change because the consumer wants it. Their competitors are already making these, you know, making these changes. People care about this issue, and quite a few companies, you know, once they really learn what, you know, their suppliers are doing, will actually up their welfare standards. So that's great. Now, if a company does not end up, you know, being open to talking with us about it, or if they you know, decide that it's not something that they want to do, then we will kind of escalate our tactics. And that's when it's brought to the grassroots team, that's the department that I am in. I lead the grassroots efforts for the Humane League in Los Angeles. So we will have things like silent protests, outside of restaurants or, you know, wherever. We will leaflet, you know, trying to make the public aware of what practices these companies are supporting by not improving these standards. We have work parties for volunteers, which are really fun. You know, cool way to get involved. We have, you know, a number of volunteers just meet up at like a coffee shop or restaurant, sometimes a brewery in Glendale that we like to go to, or like a library park, whatever. And we all take actions for animals together. And it's a great way to meet up with people and also make a difference. Things like that, yeah.
So in your role as grassroots coordinator, do you have your own team out here? How, like, do you choose your team? Are they assigned to you? And, like, I know you've talked about some of the things you do already, but, like, what exactly in your role do you
That's a great question. So the Los Angeles office is actually the newest one that we have. We just opened it up in October, and that's when I started my job. So that's why they brought me on, was to start the grassroots presence here in Los Angeles. And our network is totally volunteer. So I'm just trying to build that network. And we already have a good core group of volunteers that are amazing, devoted people. I also have a team of interns that just blow me away every day. They're incredible students that, you know, that are so devoted to this movement. And I don't know what I'd do without them. They're amazing. So That internship is actually offered on a rolling basis. So if anyone's interested, I'd love if they reached out to me. And, you know, I'm always looking for more help, because the more help I have, the more we can do.
Yeah. So volunteers, I know, like, everyone's on a volunteer basis. What are the qualities you look for in volunteers?
One of my most desired traits is positivity. I think that's really important, especially in a movement like this where, you know, the people that are really devoted to this cause are very empathetic. They're very, you know, we can be very affected by, you know, a lot of the suffering that we see. That's why we want to get involved in the first place. But what we really need as activists is to be resilient and to be positive. And I think that makes a world of difference. So that's huge. Being creative, I think, is great, because we certainly see it, you know, on the opposite side with the industry. You know, they are very creative and, you know, find all sorts of ways to you know, continue these like outdated and cruel practices. And we need to at least match that, if not outdo their creativity.
Perfect. So have you always known about like factory farming?
No,
can you take me through that moment you first found out about it, and like what emotions were running through your mind when you found out these practices that people were doing to these animals just in the name of getting them fatter so they could be slaughtered quicker, in a sense?
So I had no idea what was going on in animal agriculture. I kind of grew up thinking that animals are raised outdoors in like an old McDonald's had a farm kind of place, and that they lived happy lives in the fresh air and sunshine. And I was originally introduced to the concept of factory farming and the reality of it back in college. And you and I had talked about it a little bit briefly before the show started. When I learned about, you know, how horrific it is and how and like what an epidemic it is, I tried to go vegetarian, and it was really hard for me, and like that's how I responded to it. But ultimately, I don't know why, you know, it was just kind of hard as a college student. I felt like I didn't have the proper resources. I didn't do enough research into, you know, how to make it easier for myself. So it kind of fell off my radar again until a few years ago when I started to really, you know, consider what, you know, how my choices were impacting the world around me. I became very interested in sustainability and in the environment, and I was wondering, you know, how can I lessen my impact? And then was reintroduced, you know, to you know, how awful the animal agriculture industry, you know, treats these animals who they see as products. And then I just kind of jumped headfirst into it and became really passionate about it and started volunteering at this wonderful organization called Farm Sanctuary, which is about 30 minutes away from here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's the largest animal protection, like sanctuary, like farm animal sanctuary organization in the world. And they're amazing.
So you said going through your own experiences, finding resources was the hardest thing for you.
It was initially. When I was in college, I didn't really have any friends who were vegetarian or vegan, and I kind of just felt isolated, and I didn't really do a good job of exploring, you know, how can I make this easier on myself. I kind of just felt alone. But what I did not realize is that there's actually a huge network of people just waiting to help you transition into that kind of lifestyle if that's something that you're interested in. I wish that I looked into it a little bit further.
Yeah.
Because I think my experience would have been different.
Yeah, that's interesting. That actually kind of ties back to the Humane League. How do they help people trying to find resources? Not just, I mean, individuals, yes, but also just people in general, like groups of people who are going through the same thing you might have went through, trying to make that transition, finally understanding and seeing what these corporations are doing and wanting to make that difference. Do they offer any resources, literature, any?
Yeah, so we do offer literature. Mm-hmm. We mainly we work closely with this awesome organization called Vegan Outreach, who does exactly what you're talking about. They provide us with lots of leaflets and brochures and, you know, other resources to educate people on where this stuff comes from. Another way that we reach people is through our campus internship program, or like campus outreach program. Representative like college students who will make veg clubs on campus, who will initiate campaigns with their dining halls to get more vegetarian and vegan options.
Awesome. So to delve a little further into just the Humane League in general, how did you find this nonprofit? And what do you, in your opinion, what do you think makes it so different from other things?
That's a good question. So I first became aware of the Humane League just by being on Instagram and like following other, you know, animal protection groups. And I was always, very, very smitten by their Instagram presence. They make funny memes, and it was always, you know, I always just associated the Humane League with, you know, like a cool brand of like an organization. You know, it's just cool. And then about a year ago, I started considering, you know, maybe I want to not only just volunteer in this movement, but work in it full time. So I started looking for organizations that I could potentially work with. And the Humane League was at the top of my list because it is rated so highly. As you mentioned earlier, we are by animal charity evaluators, we are rated the best the best in America, and we have been rated as a top charity for every one of the rating periods, and we're the only group to have that distinction, which is pretty unique, and that's pretty amazing, and I think something that, you know, I'm certainly very proud of. And what I think sets us apart from different organizations is our commitment to a utilitarian strategy. So our goal is to create the most amount of change for animals using the least amount of resources. Mm-hmm. And we do that by, you know, conducting like vigorous research into what forms of advocacy are the most effective. Like I mentioned before with our 88% campaign, we're working on that because we know that we can affect the most animal lives, mm-hmm. by, you know, focusing on that 88%. Like, we can just have sweeping change that way. And so I think it's a commitment to being effective. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we're nimble. We are willing to change at the drop of a hat if we learn that something else is, you know, if we learn that a different strategy is better. And I really admire that.
Yeah, understandable. Just kind of sorry, because that other campaign was like really interesting. Do you have mm-hmm. any other like campaigns on the horizon you are able to talk about?
Sure. So, well, we are working internationally. We mm-hmm. do have some pretty cool work going on. The Humane League started this coalition of animal groups, this international coalition called the Open Wing Alliance. Mm. And the Humane League actually, you know, vets applications from different organizations all over the world who want to be a part of this. And together, they all work toward eliminating the use of battery cages in egg production. Battery cages are these wire cages where they keep, you know, 5 to 10 hens. And it's pretty horrifying stuff. If I highly recommend anyone Google it if they don't know what I'm talking about. But because of that, we have been able to, because of this Open Wing Alliance, this incredible effective coalition, we got, for example, last year, Nestle, who is the largest food corporation in the world, to adopt a global cage-free policy, which will affect nearly every planet. Every country on the planet, which is incredible. It's like unprecedented. It's a huge one for animals. So that's a really important and exciting initiative that, you know, I'm very proud to talk about. But here in the States right now, we're mm-hmm. really focused on our 88% campaign, working for Meat Breed Chickens, and specifically on McDonald's, who it's kind of shocking that they haven't adopted a stronger welfare policy, because mm-hmm. so many of their competitors, including like Burger King, Red Robin, like Subway, have all adopted the policy that we're asking for. So it's not, you know, it's very doable. It's a very reasonable ask. And mm-hmm. and honestly, it's a huge disappointment and pretty embarrassing that they haven't so far.
Yeah. I mean, to your knowledge, do you see why they wouldn't? I mean, it just seems like,
yeah. Well, I think it all comes down to money, and as these things normally do, because it's going to cost them some money mm-hmm. to have these birds grow slower. Like, you know, it won't ultimately be that much more expensive for the consumer. The difference is really nominal to the consumer, but to the corporation, you know, it's going to cost them some money. But at the end of the day, this is where, you know, the industry is moving. This is what their consumers want. It's just ethical. It's just the right thing to do.
Yeah. So, I mean, I do, like you've said, this is where the industry is moving.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a prediction of the future of it? Like, possibly what would happen if other companies keep moving? Like, what's next? Let's say McDonald's did happen to, like, change their tune about it.
Well, it's interesting because McDonald's has so much sway in the food industry. We saw, you know, not too long ago, they adopted, which the Humane League had a hand in, I'm so proud to say, they adopted a cage-free policy for their eggs, which was huge. And after they did that, all the other companies fell in line. It was just like a domino effect. It was pretty amazing. So we know that once they adopt this, it's going to be like game over. We're going to see huge change for chickens. And, you know, 88% of the animals that are raised for, you know, it's incredible. So I'm looking forward to the day that they do adopt this. I think it's inevitable.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I wanted to get your opinion on it, because it did seem like something, if they were, because McDonald's is such like a huge company, if they were, that would it would change really everything from that point.
Yeah, I really do believe so. And you know, this is this whole movement's kind of, you know, on everyone's on like it's on the top of everyone's mind. And I think consumers would really appreciate it.
Perfect. So just continuing off that, I mean, we know how like companies can change, but what can people do in their lives? How could they look when they go to the grocery store? How could they look for, like, do you have any tips on ways they can find out where their food is coming from, how it's being farmed? Just because someone like looking in, I'm like, wow, I didn't realize any of that. So like just as I'm grocery shopping, what are some things I could look for, or just the listener would look for?
Well, I think it's really important to develop a curiosity around this stuff. I mean, this stuff's going in our bodies, and not only that, but we're, you know, supporting it with our money. So, you know, we really are voting with our dollar, and we need to evaluate whether or not that's something that, you know, we really believe in before we continue to do that. So I think it's really important to develop a curiosity. There are some amazing documentaries out like Earthlings and What the Health and Forks Over Knives that you really go into, you know, where's all this stuff coming from? If you want to get deep into it and you aren't, you know, and you're up for a challenge and watching a movie, there's this great movie called Earthlings that I highly recommend. It's all about how, you know, we treat the animals around us. And beyond that, like when you go to the grocery store, how can you know, evolve your choices? I think adopting a Meatless Monday campaign is really great. Like just choosing meatless options one day a week actually makes a difference. You could also reduce, you know, the amount of chicken that you eat by half. And
really?
Yeah, by doing that, you actually save about 12 chickens every year from a lifetime of suffering. That's because chickens are so small that you only get a few meals out of each animal. So by reducing the number of chicken, you're actually saving a lot of lives.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, we always kind of recommend if you are looking to, you know, reduce the suffering in your diet, actually cut out or reduce the chicken and fish that you eat, because they're small animals and you need to kill more to have a meal.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so if you cut out the smaller animals first, you're making a bigger impact that way. So I think that's great. You know, we are seeing more and more vegetarian and vegan options just popping up all over. In the last 5 years, it's been incredible. There are so many alternatives. It's amazing. One of my favorites is actually Beyond Meat. They have this great burger called the Beyond Burger. It's incredible. It's packed with protein. And it's just a really solid product. It's delicious.
Is it like anything special about it or just...
Yeah. So I actually like it because it's not super, super duper processed. Like we see some other, you know, I think all alternative meats are great. They all lead to less suffering in the world. This one happens to be my favorite just because I like to, you know, eat as healthy as possible. And they're also they're based in El Segundo, so you're supporting a local business when you buy their product, which is
awesome.
Great.
That's interesting. Yeah. Now, I see we're running out of time. Would you mind reiterating how volunteers can reach out to you and volunteer?
Oh, absolutely. I'd love that. So you can visit thehumaneleague.org and then click Get Involved and just, you know, follow the Yellow Brick Road down to, you know, the steps where you can, you know, click the – select the Los Angeles office, and then it'll put you in touch with me. It'll add you to our sign up list. You can also feel free to email me at cfuller@thehumaneleague.org if you want to get involved with an internship.
Awesome. Okay. All right. You heard it here on Have a Care, the show that spotlights humans acting for humanity. Thank you again to Chloe Fuller from the Humane League for visiting us here today. I am your host, Danielle Padilla. Good day, and here's to a better tomorrow.